Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 14, The Ideal Family Life. And I'll just read translation for text number 6. Who's controlling the... An intelligent man in society, in human society, should make his own program of activities very simple. If there are suggestions from the friends, children, parents, brothers, or anyone else, he should externally agree, saying, "Yes, that is all right." But internally, he should be determined not to create a cumbersome life in which the purpose of life will not be fulfilled. Text 7. Divyam Bhuman Chantariksham. Vitam chuta armitam
vitam
nirmitam tat sarvam upayunjana etat koryat svato buddha divyam easily obtained because of rainfall from the sky. Bhomam, obtained from the mines and the seas. Cha, and Antariksham, obtained by chance. Vitam, all property. Achuta Niramitam, created by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Achuta Niramitam. Oh, Tat. Those. Things. Sarvam. All. Upayunjana. Utilized for all human society or all living beings. Etat, this, maintaining body and soul together. Koryat, one must do. Svataha, obtained of itself, without extra endeavor. Buddha, the intelligent person. Translation of Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The natural products created by the Supreme Personality of Godhead should be utilized to maintain the bodies and souls of all living entities. The necessities of life are of three types. Those produced from the sky, from rainfall, from the earth, from the mines, the seas, or the fields, and from the atmosphere, that which is obtained suddenly and unexpectedly. Purport. We living entities in different forms are all children of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as confirmed by the Lord in the Bhagavad Gita, 14.4. Sarva yonishi kunteya murtiyak sambhavantiya tasam brahma mahadyonir aham bija pradat pitaha. It should be understood that all species of life, O son of Kunti, are made possible by birth in this material nature, and that I am the seed-giving father. Supreme Lord Krishna is the father of all living entities in different species and forms. One who is intelligent can see that all living entities in the 8,400,000 bodily forms are parts of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and are his sons. Everything within the material and spiritual worlds is the property of the Supreme Lord. Ishavasha idam sarvam. And therefore everything has relationship with him. Srila Rupa Goswami says in this regard, prapanchi kateya buddha hari sambandhi vastuna mumukshavi parityajo parityago vairagyam palgup katyate. One who rejects anything without knowledge of its relationship to Krishna is incomplete in his renunciation. The Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1-2-256. Although Mayavadi philosophers say that the material creation is false, actually it is not false. It is factual. But the idea that everything belongs to human society is false. Everything belongs to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for everything is created by Him. All living entities, being the Lord's sons, His eternal parts and parcels, have the right to use their Father's property by nature's arrangement. As stated in the Upanishads, Tena Tvaktena Bunji Daha Magridaha Kasya Swadhanam. Everyone should be satisfied with the things allotted him by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. No one should encroach upon another's rights or property. The Bhagavad Gita has said, Anad Bhavati Bhutani Parjana Anasambhava Jagna Bhavati Parjanyo Jagna Yagna Karma Samudbhava. All living bodies subsist on food grains which are produced from rains. Rains are produced by performance of yagya, sacrifice, and yagya is born of prescribed duties. The Bhagavad Gita 3:14. When food grains are sufficiently produced, both animals and human beings can be nourished without difficulty for their maintenance. This is nature's arrangement. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvashaha. Everyone is acting under the influence of material nature, and only fools think that they can improve upon what God has created. The householder is specifically responsible for seeing that the laws of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are maintained without fighting between men, communities, societies, or nations. Human society should properly utilize the gifts of God, especially the food grains, that grow because of rain falling from the sky. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Yaginad Bhavati Parjanya. So the rainfall should be regulated. Humanity should perform yagyas, sacrifices. Yagyas were previously performed with offerings of oblations of ghee and food grains. But in this age, of course, this is no longer possible. But the production of ghee and food grains has diminished because of the sinful life of human society. However, people should take to Krishna consciousness and chant the Hare Krishna mantra, as recommended in the Shastras. Yagnai Samkirtana Prayar Yanti Hi Sumedha Saha. If people throughout the world take to the Krishna consciousness movement and chant the easy sound vibration of the transcendental name and fame of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there will be no scarcity of rainfall. Consequently, food grains, fruits, and flowers will be properly produced, and all the necessities of life will be easily obtained. Grihasthas or householders should take the responsibility for organizing such natural production. It is therefore said, Tasyaiva heto priyate dekovida. An intelligent person should try to spread Krishna consciousness through the chanting of the holy name of the Lord, and all the necessities of life will automatically follow. Divyam bhumam chantariksham vitam chuta nirmitam tatsarvam upayunjana etat koryat suto buddha. The natural products created by the Supreme Personality of Godhead should be utilized to maintain the bodies and souls of all living entities. The necessities of life are of three types: those produced from the sky, from the rainfall, from the earth, from the mines, the seas, or the fields, and from the atmosphere, that which is obtained suddenly and unexpectedly. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutaye Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane. Namaste Sarasvatundeva Gauravani Vicharane Nirvishesha Srinivadi Paskatyade Sitarane. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna, in the 16th chapter, tells us, Pravitim ja nivritim cha jana na vidu asura nisocham na pichacharo satyam teshu vidite. Krishna is describing the asuras, the demoniac. And he says that pravitim cha nivritim cha, they don't know what's to be done and what's not to be done. Jana na vidu asura. So this is the quality of the asuras. They never take help from Krishna, either through guru or sadhu or shastra. They think that by their little bit of knowledge, they can discover everything by their imperfect scientific methodology. And what is the result? That nisocham napichacharo. They're unclean. Their conscience is unclean. They're full of envy and hate, lust and anger, all the impurities that come from trying to enjoy and control the illusory energy. Na api chaturo. They're unclean. They're asatyam teshu vidite. They don't know what's to be done, what's not to be done. Neither cleanliness, nor truthfulness, nor proper behavior is found in them. So generally, because the demons are an illusion, the asuras, therefore they believe that they're the ones who have to control the material nature. They don't believe that there's a God, asatyam apratishtam te, jagarahor inishram, aparashparam sambhutyam kemanya kama haitukam. They believe that this world is all unreal. Only because they came here, they can make it real. Because of their existence, therefore everything can be controlled, put into its place as it should be, as they want it to be. Asatyam apratishtam, jagat ohur anishram. They don't believe that there's a God, that things are being controlled already, that they have to take control. Aparashparam sambhutyam. And they say that this world is unreal, has no God in control, has no foundation, no God in control. It is produced of sex desire, aparashparam sambhutyam kimanya kama haitukam. And that the whole purpose of existence is just to gratify senses. Senses include the mind, which means, as we find out, as one enters into the mode of passion, then one wants to enjoy the senses in a more sophisticated way. And when one enters into the mode of ignorance, then one wants to become destructive. One takes pleasure to see other living entities suffer. So that's the asuras, the mode of ignorance. Either they're trying to enjoy their senses at the expense of other living entities, or finally they simply try to have other living entities suffer. Like Murugari, a hunter, took pleasure as half-killing animals and watching them suffer. So it is not that when Narada Muni found Murugari that he was an unusual hunter, and that things like that wouldn't happen in such a nice modern society as we have, where everyone is in the mode of goodness. Etam drishtim avashtabhya nashtatmana nabudhya pravanyuga karmana shaye jagato hita. Following such conclusions and loss to themselves, the demoniac create horrible, unbeneficial works meant to destroy the world. So actually, because the demons want to become God, and because the ultimate God, as Krishna says, kalosmi varatarshiva, is time, and under time, God creates, maintains, and destroys through his different energies. So the demons also want to think they're the creator, they're the maintainer, and ultimately, they want to take pleasure in destroying things. Therefore, as Prabhupada points out, they think they're glorious because they invented the atomic weapons, where they can kill not only a few people, but millions of people at one time. And they want to take credit for scientific advancement, be able to kill millions of living entities at once. And because people are also sinful and also asuras, therefore, swavidra hostra karara, samstuta purusha pashu niyakarna patiyopeta jatanamagadagraja. That men who are like hogs and dogs and camels and asses, they glorify the bigger hogs, dogs, camels and asses. But they never glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we find in modern society, people are, because they're in the mode of ignorance, the heroes are also in the mode of ignorance. The heroes are destructive. They don't care anymore if their so-called heroes go and destroy other countries because they become insensitized to other people's sufferings. They're insensitized, they're insensitive to the animal sufferings, to the all insect sufferings by their herbicides and pesticides. They're killing bees and they're killing themselves, but they're indifferent because they've entered into the mode of ignorance and all they're interested is if they get something to eat. They don't know where the food comes from. They don't understand the relationship between their activities and their ability to get food. They don't see that there's a relationship between rain and food. They think milk comes out of a carton in the store. They think that their factories will manufacture grains. Even nowadays they have this idea that they want to stop killing the cow because they want to kill all the cows. They don't want, that way they can stop killing. And they want to create artificial meat out of chemicals. Manufacture food in the machine. And people think this is a good idea. That we have we buy the machine and manufacture it. We put in some chemical into the machine and it manufactures food and we eat it. So this is called entering into the darkest regions of existence. As a matter of fact, Prabhupada said this Hare Krishna movement will be noted that it saved humanity during its darkest hours. Well, whatever humanity there might be, will be saved even in the midst of the darkest hours. Because their whole society is simply destructive. And ultimately, they'll be destroying themselves by their so-called advancement, militarily, economically, medicinally. They believe that simple food, regulated life, is not sufficient for health. They believe that you have to put chemicals in your body and destroy everything in your body to become healthy. They've come up with all kinds of theories in the mode of ignorance that have nothing to do with reality. They've invented things, and people, because they're ignorant, they believe fairy tales or science fiction. That there is something called, for every disease is a germ. They've come up with this idea. Nowhere do you find that in any scripture, nor does it make any sense. That suddenly some germ is designated. Oh, I'm a tuberculosis germ. My job is to create tuberculosis. So there's a big sign that says, you know, with a picture of the tuberculosis germ. Deadly enemy, enemy number one. As soon as you see it, kill it. Tuberculosis germ. Although there may be hundreds of varieties of tuberculosis, no one person has the same, but still they think that this germ is so intelligent, it disguises itself in 100 different ways. So this is also, they can't see it, they can't prove it, but they create the idea, and they put it in a textbook, and if it's in a textbook, it must be true. Never mind that by simple diet, fresh air, sunlight, clean water, this germ suddenly goes away. Miraculously. It's like, you know, the Dracula comes, I think what do? They hold a cross and it goes away. So the germ somehow or another recognizes, oh, the sunlight's coming, I think I should go to sleep. So the fact is, they themselves cause the very diseases that they so-called are trying to cure by their chemicals. Then it's just like when one gets sick, so-called sick, one has symptoms, one is coughing, one is sneezing, one has a fever, that this is very good. It means you're still alive. This is this body's method of getting rid of all the unwanted toxins that are formed by our not acting properly, not eating properly, not sleeping properly, not exercising properly, not taking the right food, the right air, the right whatever. Therefore, ultimately, there's indigestion, and in order to free oneself from toxins caused by indigestion, then the body creates a fever to burn the toxins, or has vomiting or sneezing or something to get them out of the body. But the demons have decided that these are very unpleasant, so let us give them some drug to suppress the whole thing. So we keep all the toxins inside, and therefore they enter deeper and deeper into the body until they get a disease like cancer or some kind of autoimmune disease, other autoimmune diseases. And then the scientists say, fantastic, now we can make a fortune. We can cut you into little pieces. We can throw chemicals into you. Let's try, you know, this. They're using the same chemicals they use to poison people in the different wars. So they figure if you can kill people, you can certainly kill all the so-called germs with these chemicals. And we're making progress. Because previously, people would get a cold, they'd sneeze for a few days, and then they get cured. But this way, we have invented something. They get a cold, we drive the disease deeper, the toxins deeper and deeper into their body, and then they have to use our chemical medicines, and we make millions of dollars from it. So it's great. They die and we get rich. It's fair exchange. And the sad part is even the devotees sometimes buy into this ridiculous philosophy. Is that because we don't have sometimes faith in the Vedic literature? We actually believe that you're supposed to suppress coughing, sneezing, fever. Everything should be suppressed. Of course, sometimes fever gets too high, and therefore it has to be regulated so it doesn't kill one. But still, normal fever is the body's methodology of taking care of toxins. Otherwise, how is the body, what is the methodology of the body to get rid of it? Through the stool, through the urine, through the sweat, and through fever. Fever induces sweating. Induces the energy. It means that the body's energies are alive and trying to get rid of toxins so that it can normalize itself again. For thousands of years, we find in the Vedic literature, there were no drugs. People weren't taking drugs. There were no vaccines. There were no ugra karma, as there is in this age. People live healthy lives by living, and therefore they were healthy. And when people live unhealthy lives, then they're unhealthy. And no amount of chemicals and drugs and everything else that they manufacture in their fertile brains to make a profit and for other reasons is going to make anyone healthy. It simply will cover the symptoms so that one will actually believe that they went away. The problem went away. The famous, the messenger comes to the king and tells him that the army is approaching, a big army is approaching, so the king kills the messenger and thinks his problem is solved. So the messengers are coming and we're trying to get rid of them. Don't bother me. Until the messengers are so loud, either we die or we do something drastic, and then we die anyhow. Therefore, one should have some faith in Krishna. He didn't create an imperfect world. Om Purnam Adanak Purnam Idam Purnat Purnam Ujjatate. Krishna has created everything perfectly. It's just a question of our living in harmony with the nature's laws. And one of the first laws, Krishna says, don't eat too much or eat too little. Now, if one doesn't want to follow that law and thinks, well, Krishna, we have science. You have your philosophy. We have science. And therefore, we can eat whatever we want, whatever we want, how much we want. And a scientist will save us. They'll give us a pill. They'll give us a shot. They'll give us something and save us. Because we don't need Krishna. He's just a fictitious person from 5,000 years ago, aborigine coward boy, who spoke some philosophy, and we have the books, so we sell them so we can get something, we can offer something to the deity and get something to eat. Other than that, we don't take his words so seriously, because, you know, after all, the scientists tell us, the philosophers tell us, historians tell us, he was an aborigine coward boy, so why should we bother listening to him? We can eat whatever we want, we can sleep as much as we want, we can do whatever we want, and everything will be alright because the scientists will save us. There are two major categories of persons who leave their bodies. The two professions that have the shortest life expectancy in America. Number one is the doctors. Whereas the famous physician once said, physician, heal thyself. They themselves have the shortest life expectancy. So if you come under their care, what can you expect? If they can't hear all the, just like Hiranyakashipu asked Lord Brahma, can you give me immortality? And Lord Brahma said, I can't give you immortality because I myself have to die. So if you go to someone who doesn't know how to survive, doesn't know how to maintain his own health, how can he help you maintain yours? And the second is airplane pilots, because they fly around, they have no regulated life. They're going every so often, regularly, hundreds of miles an hour in a body that's meant to walk. So, irregularity, improper food, anxiety. So is modern society, are they trying to make people peaceful and happy? No, they're trying to put everyone in anxiety. First the terrorists were going to kill us. But apparently the terrorists kill themselves because they don't talk about them anymore. They just kind of magically went away. And now some germ you can't see is going to kill you. It hasn't killed practically anyone. But anyhow, the fear of this germ is what constantly is killing people. The fear that they're constantly creating again and again and again, in case you forgot about it, will remind you. In case you became too peaceful, we're very disturbed that you're peaceful, so we'll have to remind you that you're going to die. They're right, you're going to die, and the person who's telling us is going to die also. Whereas one devotee went to a doctor, the doctors examined them and said, my dear devotee, my dear sir, I think you're going to die. And the devotee looked at him and said, my dear doctor, I think you're going to die too. So this fear of death, because people are in ignorance, yes, people are going to die today or tomorrow in 100 years. Everyone dies. But the question is, what is our consciousness? Do we believe that there's a God who's going to take care of us, who's managing the whole universe? Or we believe that our only salvation is by this doctor who can't even save themselves, the so-called science, which has caused more suffering than it has alleviated anyone from their problems. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions, comments?
Okay, I was asked during this Abhisheka we had, why we pour so many different things on their lordships during Abhisheka, milk and but I didn't have the answers.
Well, we offer whatever we have to Krishna. Krishna likes fruit. Yes, and Krishna is, he can experience completely the, When we, if we pour fruit on ourselves, we'll simply get wet.
But Krishna can
eat through his every sense. So his Krishna's experience is different from ours. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Brindaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.